Well, thanks for joining us today. We are at session 9 of 10 of a series we've been doing this year called Disciple Making Jumpstart Training. We've been covering the basic building blocks of a flexible framework for disciple making. And just to catch you up on kind of where we've been, what operating definitions we've been using, we've been describing disciple making as an intentional life-on-life process in which one person helps another learn to follow Jesus into Christian maturity and multiplication. And we advocate a flexible framework for disciple making that includes four key areas: prayer, the word, personal counseling, and ministry coaching. So that's what we've covered so far this year. And what we're covering in these final two sessions are key skills that help us to be really effective as we are carrying out this kind of disciple making strategy, this flexible framework. So today, Dane is going to come up and talk about the key skills of listening and answering questions. So I'm going to tell you what I love about Dane, and then I'm going to pray for us. But one thing I really like about Dane is he has a strong passion for the next generation. He's very young. He's what, 30? Barely 30. And he's got some really creative ideas about what disciple making can look like among that generation and what is effective. And I have really benefited from his thoughtful analysis of that. And also, just if you talk to Dane much, he's a really thoughtful person. He listens well. He'll go home and think things through and come back with thoughts. He's very good at listening well and asking good questions. And so I'm really excited to have him speak to us on this issue. Just a little bit more about his background. Dane is a pastor at Discover Christian Church in Dublin. And he's got about a decade of vocational ministry experience, and he leads worship gatherings that are both spiritually formative and musically engaging while walking with young adults through life's transitions and into deeper spiritual maturity. He holds a degree in Bible and theology from Johnson University in Knoxville, where I am from. I love Knoxville so much. So glad Dane got to experience it. But now he lives in Columbus, Ohio, the flat land, with his wife, Gabby. He is a devoted fan of all things Columbus and Cleveland sports. He likes writing, playing music, classic creative, and can also be found running, hiking, biking, or playing a round of disc golf. So that's Dane. Why don't I pray for us, and then I'll have Dane come up. Lord, we're just so grateful that you have called us to a work that is fulfilling but doable. We're thankful that you empower us for such a work. We're grateful for all of the advice from our local disciple-making practitioners that we just heard in that video. And we're also just thankful for people like Dane who have some strengths, some skills, and some insight to share with us to help us to be more effective as we seek to be faithful to the call you've given us. I pray that you'd speak through Dane today, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate something for each one of us here that we can take to heart and apply today. Amen.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, hey, how are y'all doing today? Good to hear. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here today. When I was given the topic of listening, I let my wife know, and she's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Huh?" So we're off to a strong start. Again, yeah, I've been doing pastoral ministry for about 10 years now, and I've been at Discover up in Dublin. Over that time, I've had a chance to walk alongside a wide range of people in discipleship, young adults, as well. And something I've noticed with a lot of the young adults is I find that many of them are skeptical about church, skeptical about Jesus and Christ followers, and a lot of them have stories too of even being hurt at a church or by someone who calls themselves a Christian. In those conversations, I started noticing just patterns. I'd be asking people, "Hey, what's holding you back from taking that next step of following Jesus?" And they talk about how they've been disappointed in church or how they distrust people who call themselves Christians. And many share stories of leaders who fail them. And we've seen that. People fail. Churches fracture sometimes, and someone that you once follow for biblical wisdom might let you down or they go away. And so people are left asking, when that piece goes missing, who am I supposed to be following? So in our discipling efforts, we need to see people first and foremost as people and not as a product that proves our ministry success. Scott Cormode. He says, we cannot see people as a means that allow us to accomplish our goals. If we speak first without listening, we assume we know where the people are and what they need, but we're likely only seeing them through our own biases and agendas. It becomes really easy to lose the clarity that we have our own biases and agendas. So we have to ask ourselves, hey, what are they when we are trying to build a relationship with somebody, especially in discipleship? We have to ask ourselves, are we discipling them to follow Jesus, or are we discipling them to follow me? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his great book, Life Together, says, many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They will not find it among the Christians because we're talking when we should be listening. Oof. I think that speaks volumes to the amount of people who don't feel heard when they look to somebody in their discipleship journey. And so, listening can be one of our biggest tools in bringing people alongside in a discipleship relationship. People don't really care what you know, what you have to say, until they are convinced that you are invested in them. And a discipler's challenge is just that. It's to earn the right to speak into someone's life. And the clearest way to do that is by listening. Leading with listening. However, this is like such a really difficult thing to do in our culture. Listening well is like something we are not set up for. We are surrounded by noise all the time. I go to Planet Fitness and I am overstimulated immediately because it's just noise after noise. You get in your car, uncomfortable with silence, so you put on podcasts. Our phones are always buzzing. This might be the most audibly saturated moment in our time, like in history. And if that's true, listening may be one of the most important things that we can recover. And so today, I just want to remind ourselves of a framework pretty foundational to what we believe as followers of Jesus. We see it throughout Scripture, and it starts way back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We know this verse is the Shema. God is speaking to his people in ancient Israel, and he provides a posture of living, and it goes like this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. How does this great commandment start? With the call to listen. It's that word in Hebrew, Shema. And that word, it does more than we think. It doesn't mean just, hey, listen up really quick. I've got something to say. It's an active type of listening that leads to a response. Listening in a way that leads to action. And so, yeah, that is the posture here. If you follow the flow of the passage, there's a pattern to it, a rhythm for our discipleship. First, you listen, and then you love. And then you commit, you live it out, and then you repeat it, you pass it on. Listen, love, live, and repeat. But I think a lot of us in our discipleship efforts have kind of rearranged that order. We start with teaching. We jump to, here's how you should live. And we hope that love comes along somewhere along the way. And then we're left confused when our efforts are flat or people don't stick around and they don't want to hear from us. And I wonder if it's because we didn't focus and prioritize the listening. Jesus, he has more to say when it comes to this. In the New Testament, in Mark 12, in verse 28, it says, one of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he adds, The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. For Jesus, it comes down to this, and it still starts that same way. We listen, and then we love. Notice that love, it grows where there is attention placed. Love is a product of our listening. They're not separate. And so if you've ever really felt heard by somebody, you know this. It's a way that you feel loved. You lean into it. And the same is true with God. The more we actually listen to God, the more our love for him can deepen. And so if we're trying to disciple people, but we are not prioritizing listening to God and listening to others, we're skipping just such a foundational thing that God has given us. So we listen to God, we listen to people. And out of that, Spirit-led love in living in discipleship flourish. So we'll start, talk a little bit in our efforts of discipling. We have to lead by listening to God. In many of us, we get stuck here because listening to God is hard. It is. One of the leading pieces of our discipleship is the slow replacement of competing voices until Christ's voice becomes the one that you instinctively trust. And that word slow really matters. Like, you're not going to develop this rhythm in one day or at one retreat, one Sunday morning. It's something that you practice over time. You learn to tune your ear towards it. And the spiritual practice of solitude and silence, it's something that we don't do that often. However, I just love that studies are prioritizing that more. And if it's something you haven't implemented in your life, prioritize that. Really do. Because that is where we learn to listen to God the best. So do you take your time out of your day to just simply listen in your studying and your morning routines, just a few minutes to turn off the phone and just reflect with the Holy Spirit, being quiet before God? I'm reminded of High Banks Metro Park. It's one of my favorite parks here in Columbus. And there's so many parks around Columbus, and I love them. And why do parks exist? Parks are places where we are able to escape the busyness of the crowded city. Out in nature, where you can escape to just a quieter place, you can actually think, you can notice what's going on around you and notice what's going on inside of you. Distractions are set aside. Everything just slows down just a little bit when you're at a park. There's an old hymn. I am a worship leader, and so I'm reminded of this week. In the garden. It says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. In the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. In the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So beautiful. To listen to God, we need to find our metro parks. We need to find our time alone in the garden with our Father. Henry Nguyen, he talked about this in a really helpful way. He described this rhythm that starts with solitude, that leads into your community, and then that goes into your ministry. So solitude, community, and ministry. It starts with solitude, not always being around people, trying to impact people, because we need a space to hear God before we go and speak into anyone else's life. Out of that, we step into community, there where we are able to listen, build relationships, be listened to. And from there, it dives into our ministry. We're actually able to serve and disciple our communities. But if we skip that first part, and then everything else runs that danger of running into our own voices rather than the Spirit's. So once we start to learn to listen to God, it begins to change how we listen to people. Because the same things that get in the way of listening to God tend to be the same things that get in the way of listening to others too. Let's take a moment of reflection here. When talking with other people, do you find yourself finishing their sentences? Yeah. Giving your opinion before hearing them out. feeling restless and impatient, losing track of what's being said, or mentally rehearsing or worrying about what you're going to say next. I do that too much. You are not alone if you're nodding through this. I am so guilty of these things. And if you're like me, you just might realize there are a few things to intentionally work on to be a better listener. One of the most simple and practical ways to grow in this is a tool called active listening. Active listening. Now, active listening isn't just sitting down in a conversation and going, I get away with that too often. But active listening is the process of slowing down to make sure that you understand the person in front of you as the diverse, the dynamic, the intricate creation that God created them to be. And so to actively listen, we need to listen to what makes people's hearts sing out. We need to know their joys, listen to their desires. We need to listen to their pain and listen to their suffering. And so importantly, we listen without judgment. We listen with care. And so in our conversations, we can actually pause periodically and summarize with this little process to check our understanding with active listening. Now, I'm skipping some slides. Sorry about that. Here we go. There are three crucial components to active listening. And you can even chart it out if you're a visual person. And the first is to be tentative, like pay attention, be tentative. And what do I mean by that? Hold your understanding about your situation, the person you're talking to, very loosely. Because you can sit across from somebody, you can listen to their story, you can start connecting dots about their life, you might already know what's going on, you think you understand what they're dealing with, and you have a 5-point plan ready to fix their life. But slow down, slow down. Be real. What I've learned talking with younger people is that people can tell when they're being analyzed instead of actually being heard. So beginning with being tentative is just starting with humility and an attitude of wonder and curiosity in the conversation. Your active listening response, they can start with just little phrases like this after you hear somebody talk about their life. Hey, I'm wondering if, or hey, it seems like, or I think I heard you say. Those kind of phrases, they leave a lot of space that's open to let the person know, like, you're not confidently assuming something about their situation. And people will often open up and they go deeper with you when you start with that wondering attitude. And the second piece of active listening is to listen and paraphrase the feeling. People aren't just sharing information to share information. They're expressing something that they are feeling as they go through it. Underneath most conversations, there is something emotional driving it. And so in trying to understand how they feel, we can keep it simple and just pull from like a bucket of emotions, like mad, are they glad, are they sad, are they afraid, confused, ashamed, alone? You know, you can add whatever else to that as well. And so after you stay tentative, you name the feeling that's underneath. Like, hey, I am wondering if it's pretty irritating to you that that happened. Or it seems like you're really excited about that. Or I think I heard you say it's generating a lot of anxiety. And if you have trouble figuring out that emotion, it's all right, because a lot of times people are going to correct you when you're wrong. Like, oh, no, I'm not angry at I'm disappointed that friendship looks different now. And I think that's a win, because the conversation keeps moving. People open up when you are curious. When someone feels like you understand not just what's happening in their life, but what it felt like, they notice that. And then the third part of active listening is to paraphrase the overall thought. Because feelings matter, but yes, so do the details. People are telling you something specific about their life. And part of listening well is to be able to reflect that back in a clear and simple way. And so if we're putting the pieces together, I'm wondering if it's pretty irritating to you to try so hard without succeeding, and then see where the conversation goes. Or it seems like you are really excited about this new opportunity at work. Like, tell me what drives you. Or I think I heard you say it's generating a lot of anxiety that the school you've been counting on is no longer an option for your son. This kind of active listening opens up a world of conversations as people feel understood. It's allowing yourself to follow along with them. When you are attentive, reflecting both the feeling and the thought, people feel understood. And when they feel understood, you begin to earn the right to speak into their life. And so it doesn't stop with just listening. We also need to know how to learn to ask good questions. Learn to ask good questions. If we look at how Jesus modeled a lot of his discipleship is just learning how to ask the right questions at the right time. I wish he would just give more answers, but he makes us think. And most good questions are open-ended. And our questions, they should follow into about two simple categories. The first are questions that uncover what needs attention. And the second are questions that go deeper into something that's already been said. And so one, at the surface level, you are helping somebody by asking questions that take inventory and help them notice things about their life that maybe they haven't reflected on. Questions that uncover what needs attention can look like this. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing relationally today? How's work? How's your marriage? Your kids? On a scale of 1 to 10, how was your week? What were the highs and the lows that you've experienced since we last met? Is there anything you felt God talking to you about this week? These kind of questions help bring their thoughts and their feelings to the surface, giving us a chance then to actively listen. And then closely related to listening, we want to ask questions that go deeper into something that they've already said. Questions like, what was the hardest part of that for you? Or what do you think your next move is? Is there anything from your childhood situation that might be a cause of this? Help me understand how that relates to this other part of your life. What has your prayer life been like on this issue? And if conversations feel stale and you're not quite sure what questions to ask, I was introduced to a list of wondering questions by Doug Pollock. And it's put together, it's called 99 Wondering Questions. If you scan the QR code, I think you should have access to the list of 99 Wondering Questions. They're questions about God, questions about faith, questions about work, you name it, goals, achievements, dreams, family. I encourage you, if you want to learn how to ask better questions, just pick one of those before you sit down with someone to discuss life with them. Just try to fit it somewhere along in your conversation. It's just a really good tool that has helped me immensely. Good questions invite conversations, opening spaces to think and process and be honest. And so, again, the framework is to listen to God and others, love God and others, commit by living it out, repeat it by passing it on to people, and continuing to do that. And the three practices, right? Listening to God, creating space for solitude and silence, listening to others, use active listening by being tentative, knowing their feelings, paraphrasing their thoughts, and then asking good questions of things that need attention and that can lead us deeper into the conversation. And so just to wrap it up real quick, don't skip listening in your discipleship relationships. Make space to listen to God, because we're not just running this on our own. To make time to listen to people, because they are way more than just a project to us. Walk with people in a way that helps them hear Jesus for themselves.